Chapter 36. The limo rolled right past the enormous stone house that was the chateau proper. It was bigger than a parking garage and covered with cornices and turrets and gargoyles, like some kind of neo-medieval castle. I noted, not stopping at the house.
No,
Lara said from the seat facing us. Even in the dark, you could see the glow of her luminous skin. The conclave is being held in the deeps. Her eyes glittered at me. Less walking for everyone that way. I gave her a small smile and said, I like the house, the whole castle-looking thing. It's always nice to know you're living somewhere that could withstand a besieging army of Bohemian mercenaries if it had to. Or American wizards, she replied smoothly. I gave her what I hoped was a wolfish smile, folded my arms, and watched the house go by. We turned down a little gravel lane and drove another mile or so before the car slowed and came to a stop. Bodyguard George got out and opened the door for Lara, whose thigh brushed against mine as she got out, and whose perfume smelled good enough to scramble my brain for a good 2 or 3 seconds. Both I and Ramirez sat still for a second. That, I said, is an awfully lovely woman. I thought I should let you know, kid, in case your inexperience has blinded you to the fact. Lying, Ramirez stated, blushing. Evil. I snickered and slid out of the car to follow Lara and the three more bodyguards waiting for her into the woods beside the gravel lane. The last time I'd found the entrance to the deeps, I'd been stumbling through the woods, focused on a tracking spell, and tripping over roots and hummocks in the old-growth forest. This time, there was a lighted path, with a red carpet, no less, leading down between the trees. The lights were all of soft blues and greens, small lamps that, upon a closer glance, proved to be elegant little crystal cages containing tiny humanoid forms with wings. Fairies, tiny pixies, each surrounded by its own sphere of light, trapped and miserable, crouched in the cages. Between each cage knelt more prisoners, humans bound by nothing more than a single strand of white silk about their throats, tied to a peg driven into the earth in front of them. They weren't naked. Lara wouldn't have gone in for anything that overt. Instead, they each wore a white silk kimono, accented with strands of silver thread. Men and women, arrayed in a variety of ages, body types, hair colors. Every single one of them beautiful, their eyes lowered as they knelt quietly. One of the young men sat shivering and was seemingly barely able to stay upright. His long, dark hair was marred with streaks of brittle white. His eyes were unfocused and he seemed totally unaware of anyone around him. His kimono was torn near the neck, leaving a broad swath of muscled chest exposed. There were raking nail marks, deep enough to draw tiny trickles of blood all the way across one pectoral. There were repeated teeth marks deep in the slope of muscle between neck and shoulder, half a dozen sets of messy bruises and ugly little gashes. There were more nail marks, 4 side-by-side punctures, rather than rakes, on the other side of his neck. He was also, obviously, even painfully, aroused beneath the kimono. Lara paused beside him and rolled her eyes in irritation. Madeline? Yes, ma'am, said one of the bodyguards. Oh, for hunger's sake, she sighed. Get him indoors before the conclave is over, or she'll finish him off on her way out. Yes, ma'am, he said, turned aside, and began speaking to nobody. I spotted a wire running to an earpiece. I kept walking down the long line of kneeling captives and trapped pixies and got angrier with every step. They're willing, Dresden, Lara said a few paces later. All of them. I'm sure they are, I said. Now. She laughed. There is no shortage of mortals who long to kneel before another, wizard. There never has been. We passed several more kneeling men and women who looked mussed and dazed, though none so badly as the first. We also walked past spaces where there was a peg and a strip of white cloth, but no person kneeling within. I'm sure they all knew that they might die by doing it, I said. She shrugged one shoulder. It happens at these meetings. Guests have no need to dispose of a body, since as hosts we are responsible for such necessities. As a result, many of our visitors make no effort to control themselves. You're responsible, all right. I gripped my staff harder and kept my voice neutral. What about the little folk? They trespassed upon our land, she replied, her voice calm. Most would simply have killed them rather than pressing them into service.
Yeah, you're all heart.
Where there is life, there is hope, Dresden, Lara replied. My father's policies on such matters have changed of late. Death is gauche when it can be avoided. Alternative courses are far more profitable and agreeable to all involved. It is for precisely that reason that my father seeks to help create a peace between your folk and mine. I glanced aside at the shining eyes of a short-haired redhead in her early 30s, absolutely lovely, her kimono still open from whatever had fed on her, the tips of her small breasts taut as she panted, the muscles of a lean stomach still trembling. Behind us, the thralls stretched out into the darkness. Ahead of us, they went on for 100 yards or more. So many of them. I started to shudder, but the faces of the women the Scavis and his pretenders had murdered flickered through my mind, and I fought it down. Like hell was I going to let Lara see me look discomfited, no matter how sick the display of the White Court's seductive power made me feel. The path went on for another 100 yards through the woods and stopped at the mouth of a cave. It wasn't large or sinister or dramatic. It was simply a fissure in an almost flat stretch of ground at the base of a tree, with a hypnotic sway of firelight dancing somewhere below. There were guards outside, set back in the woods out of obvious sight. I spotted a couple of deer stands occupied by dark shapes. There were others standing silent sentinel. I assumed that there would be more guards I could not see. Lara turned to us.
Gentlemen, she said, if you will wait here for a moment, I will send someone when the White King is ready to receive you.